This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy 365 degrees Celsius to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it? Michael, Randy, and Nick should be back sooner or
Nick's
later.
Nick's not back. Nick ain't here.
By the way, can you feel it?
I feel it.
Hey, Lou, what I can hear you now.
Yeah. Whee! Yep. The people. So what's going on, guys? Randy, I haven't talked to you in forever. It feels like it's been months, but I will be seeing you real soon.
It's been 2 weeks, and you will be seeing me soon because I am definitely coming to the Midwest Liberty Fest. I even got a buddy of mine who's going to come with me, which is even really great because I hardly know any libertarians around my area for some reason.
Libertarians, I hardly knew ye.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
You rounded up a friend and family member?
Fiend phone.
What on earth is going on? Is the sky falling? Let's just listen.
Does Nick have his own theme music when he comes into the fiend phone?
I guess so.
That's the perks of being a dear sweet yak emperor.
We all know Nick's a junkie. What's up, Nick? Dave, glad you're back.
Yeah, glad you could join us.
You know, it's kind of weird to be 52 and David Bowie's the first musician who died that I actually really cared about his music. I guess Kurt Cobain died, but I wasn't really into Nirvana until after Kurt Cobain died. I was well aware of him. I had a roommate who had the Bleach album, but it didn't really tickle my soul. So
you were cool with it when Karen Carpenter died?
I laughed. I was like 8.
I wasn't that big of a Nirvana fan. I think the Foo Fighters are much better.
Ugh, really? Wow.
I will say this, though. It was probably the best career move that Kurt Cobain could do.
Oh, it always is. It always is.
Yeah, and that shot the record sales way up. For CDs at the time.
It's true.
It worked for Janis, you know.
Now, did you know Kurt, Michael? Or did you just know of him?
Nope, I just knew of him. I walked through a bar where I worked, where they were doing a sound check one time to pick up my check, and heard like 30 seconds of him. And it's like, oh, it's a loud, good band, but I'm going to take my check and go get some girls to do drugs with me, you know. And I didn't care. I didn't care about other bands when I was in a band. I only cared, like, my band was everything. The bass player, Chris Novoselic, and the drummer, your boy from the Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl, were huge fans of my band, Bomb. And they both came to see Bomb play in Seattle one time, and I met them there. So I knew them, but I didn't know Kurt. But Kurt was a fan of Bomb, too. He turned Chris onto Bomb. He was a fan of... He liked our song, I Loved You, Then I Died. Ironically. Now, speaking of Kurt, this is an interesting segue here that doesn't really work. Kurt was Croatian. Speaking of the cutting edge of Serbo-Croatian technology, his parents were from Croatia. He was actually born in Compton, L.A. So he was straight out of Compton. He was born in Compton, raised there. But the civil... What was that war called in the 90s, Lou? I think you were in the military at the time. The Kosovo thing?
Yeah, Yugoslavia split up in Bosnia. Yeah. The cluster bleep.
Yeah, the cluster bleep. I have a rifle from that cluster beep beep, and it's great. They those Yugoslavian AKs are cheap and readily available, and I highly recommend them. And before I lost mine in a voting accident, I enjoyed it immensely. But Kosovo is the government there, of what's left of it, is warning citizens of their nation publicly to stop playing Pokemon Go and wandering out into minefields. This is an actual headline, people. This is the world we live in.
My understanding is that there's still a bit of fighting going on over there. I mean, it's nowhere near what it was, but there's still some skirmishes popping up here and there, and I think there's still U.S. troops there, or at least NATO troops.
Kosovo is a disputed territory, partially recognized state, according to Wikipedia. While Serbia recognizes administration of the territory by Kosovo's elected government, it still continues to claim its own autonomous province of Kosovo and Metohija. You know, did you guys ever see the... We were talking last night about the Coriolis effect. I was, you know, how water in the northern hemisphere goes down the drain counterclockwise and it goes clockwise in the southern hemisphere. And I was noticing that slam dance pits in America always go counterclockwise. So I said, if anyone's listening in Australia, let me know, do they go clockwise in Australia? And we actually had someone listening in Australia and he wrote me on Facebook during the show and said, no, they go both ways down here. But do you guys remember The Simpsons? It's one of the best Simpsons
ever. Oh, yes. The boot.
Where yes, the boot. Yeah, where the Simpsons go to Australia because, what is it? Lisa tells Bart about the Coriolis effect, and Bart starts making random phone calls to the Southern Hemisphere, collect calls. Well, some of them are collect, some of them aren't. To find out, he's calling people asking which way their water's running. And he calls some kid, and the kid leaves the phone off the hook, and basically his dad gets a $900 phone bill. And Homer's looking at this phone bill, and I love when he's reading. He says, Burkina Faso, disputed zone. Who calls all these crazy places? I just love the idea of disputed zones showing up as a place on a phone bill. So I guess Kosovo would if you called there, maybe. If there still were phone bills itemized, but there aren't. Yeah. Because phone calls have become so cheap because of the market.
Yeah, Nick. it's actually a throwback to like ancient history of when you had to call your friends and family after like 9 p.m. at night. Randy, you're old. You remember that stuff. You remember the off-peak hours?
Of course.
Do they still have that with cell phones? Are there still cell phones with nighttime and weekend plans, or is it just everyone has unlimited minutes now? I have unlimited minutes.
Well, yeah, that was the way it was with the cell phones just 15 years ago. It was all like that.
In 1970, we called South Africa because my sister was an exchange student there with Rotary International, and we got a Belgian girl. And South Africa got my sister when I was six in 1970. And she was there for a year, and we called her once because it was so expensive. And we had to arrange it by postcards weeks ahead of time for her to be there at a certain time. And we had to call the operator in our town the day before to arrange an international operator. I mean, this is so like when I was your age to make a long distance phone call to a different nation. It was unreal. It was we and the operator had to patch it through, and we had to listen to her patch it through like three other operators, and it took like 10 minutes to patch it through. And there was like a 5-second delay and an echo. Like we'd ask her a question, we'd hear it kind of echo, and then like 5 seconds later, she'd hear it and start talking. And it was like the phone bill for that call, like it was like a 10-minute call, and it cost us about $100. And this is $1970. I mean, that would be like, you know, how much would $100 and 70 be now? Like 280 or 380? Yeah, I mean, it was like
a lot more than that.
Unbelievably expensive call.
$500 probably.
Yeah. Okay. So it was, you know, it was like $50 a minute to call South Africa. We did it once in the year she was there. You know, now it'd be free.
Now you can do Skype video on your chromed robot turb.
I know, man. What a time to be alive. And, you know, it's so bizarre to me that the state is still just clinging with claws and teeth. You know, like so much has come along to make them obsolete. What's that saying?
They've always been obsolete.
Yeah, they're more obsolete than ever, though. And, you know, they really like to fight for their monopoly on everything. Like, the internet replaces the need for a lot of things in, you know, that the government used to do. Let's say they've always been obsolete, but they've done some things that need doing, and they've done it poorly at various points, but they still claim like, without us, who would be the registrar of deeds? And we're like, the blockchain. And they'll just fight tooth and nail as they go down like dinosaurs thrashing in the tar pits. What was the thing that happened today?
The blockchain is illegal. Now who's going to do it?
I know.
See how you need us?
So one of the things that you sent us was for show notes was this thing about an electronic billboard somewhere that said, next time you want a cop, call a crackhead. Where was this? Does anyone have this pulled up, Nick?
I don't.
All right.
Okay, I'm pulling it up right now. It's in Indiana. Let's see.
Hate cops? The next time you need help, call a crackhead. And nobody would take credit for this. And people got really upset about it and got it removed. But the thing is, like, they were upset about the wrong things, you know? Like, they were upset because it marginalized crackheads or something, not because it's basically the cops saying, hey, cops, F you, we've got a monopoly. There's no one you can call. That's what they think.
Yeah. Well, what it really shows is that cops are so horrible, they're so absolutely incompetent, the only thing that you can even compare them to is a crackhead.
And the funny thing is, Steve Miller Miller discussed this. This is sort of a meme that goes around. And we discussed this with Steve Miller Miller one time, who lives in a crackhead-infested neighborhood. And he said if he got robbed and he knew who had his stuff, he would call a crackhead rather than the police. Because the crackhead would get it back. Like, you know, if somebody stole a bicycle off his porch or something that was locked up and he knows who took it. Like, there's people in his neighborhood that are crackheads that if you paid them $25, they'd kick in the guy's door and get the bike back for you. So in Kensington, Philadelphia, you do call a crackhead instead of the cops.
The crackhead's not gonna, you know, shoot your crazy brother that's locked himself in the bathroom with a knife or something, right?
Yeah, I don't think I'd call a crackhead for that. But what were you going to say, Lou?
Would you call a cop?
Do they charge extra to yell search warrant when they kick in the door?
Oh, yeah. And that's something that people do who aren't cops when they do home invasions. And it's based on the respect people have for the monopoly of violence that police have in a given area.
We need cops like Kurt Cobain needs another hole in the head. We'll be right back.
Wow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick and tired of peaceful people being banned from so-called Liberty events? How about Liberty festivals that are more regulated than a government housing area? Now you can do something about it. The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the 4th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held Friday, August 26th through Monday the 29th at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo. There will be canoeing, kayaking, hiking, fishing, swimming, presentations, discussions, and bacon. Lots of bacon. This event is both adult and family friendly, and best of all, no overbearing central planners. There will be free Freedom Fiends and Bipcop merch while supplies last. And don't forget the longer leashes for the Bow Wows and Woof Woofs. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike, Papa, Lima, fest.org.
Yeah. Woof. So the name of this episode. Yeah, Lou?
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, hey, Freedom Fiends, if you hate the Freedom Fiends, call a crackhead.
There you go. No, call a crocodile head. Crocodile is a Russian form of bathtub injectable opiates that is proof of why, you know, some people say this is why we need more laws. And I'm like, this is why we need no laws about drugs. Because since heroin is illegal and since no amount of laws will keep an addict from wanting to take the drug they're addicted to, and you can't legislate addiction out of existence. So there's this drug called Crocodile, K-R-O-K-O-D-I-L, in Russia and elsewhere. So basically, you can buy codeine over the tablets over the counter in Russia, you know, kind of low-grade narcotics that help with a headache. But, you know, as you should be able to. But people take, like, gasoline and lighter fluid and matchstick heads and do a one-pot cook-off with this stuff and turn it into crocodile in their mother's kitchens and inject it. And it is... It actually contains gasoline. Like, you can't really cook all the gasoline off of it. So it's not the drug itself that causes damage. It's like the preparation of it on the street, you know, without a laboratory, using common household items. This drug turns you into a zombie. Like, it literally makes your skin fall off. If you Google crocodile with a K, don't. Just don't. Put it this way. If you guys know about the band Death Clock and Metal Apocalypse, the cartoon show, it's about this black metal band who have supernatural cursed powers. That's where every racist. Time they play, people die. That's racist against white Norwegians. But every time they play, people die in mass. The guy who created this, who thinks that's funny, who brought that into being... I interviewed him on this show, and I told him about crocodile. He'd never heard of it, and he Googled it, and he was like, "Blah!" Okay, so, like, the guy who created Death Clock was freaked out by this drug because it's so hideous. So we believe on the Freedom Fiends, this is kind of our way of putting it, this election cycle is so laced with crazy and crocodile that you've got cops pepper spraying an American flag. And that's the name, the long name of the episode. And we have visual proof of this. So at the convention in
Cleveland,
I slept all day today. I slept till like 5 p.m. When I woke up, I looked at the news and I felt like it was just a little crazier than when I went to sleep. Like, literally, while I slept, the world went a little bit mad. So the Republican convention, the Trumpathon, the Heil Führer Trump, and it really is feeling that way. And like, you know, they're shutting out like the longtime Republicans who don't want him. Like, they're doing the same thing they did to Ron Paul, like changing the rules at the convention so no one except their guy can get in, the guy who bought his way in. So there were some people protesting outside. They were members of like the American Communist Party or something, which, boy, talk about a losing third party that's never going to give you votes. You know, join the Democrats or the Republicans. They'll get the socialism in there. But this party's never going to go anywhere. So what they did was burn the flag out front. Yeah, they're less viable and get less percentage of the vote than the Libertarian Party. So these people burned a flag to try to get some attention. And, you know, of course, the cops beat them up.
Because
the cops, cops are like the cops are like Trump's goons now. He doesn't even have to say, "Gods, seize them." They just seize anyone that they don't like. So they were seizing these
release hounds.
Yes. So they were trying to put out this flame on the corner of an American flag, and they didn't have any water. The only liquid the cops had was a can of pepper spray. So there's a photo of a cops pepper spraying an American flag. How fitting is that with what's going on in the world?
Wait, right what? Now? What happened when that's not water. That's the solvent.
I know. It's not. It's apparently flaming. I think it's flaming. I think it's got something flammable in it because it looks like this flame is shooting up where he's spraying it.
Pepper spray is oil based.
Yeah.
And yeah, you
spraying cooking oil on a flame on your stove.
Yeah, not a good idea, maybe.
So I didn't even think of that. Like, you know, as far as the symbolism of this, like, not only is a cop pepper spraying the American flag, it's fanning the flames on the American flag. So what the cops are doing is destroying America and fanning the flames of the demise of your nation.
Now, was Lieutenant Blake involved in all that?
Hello, who's that?
He's the guy from either like Berkeley or wherever that pepper sprayed all those students. Hey, Randy, theological question for you. Is the sound of Trump Pence one of the plagues from Revelations?
Trump Pence, TP.
We'll be back.
TP, I know what I do
TP
with that.
TP for my bunghole. TP.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
So Nick hasn't been to school in a year because we talked to him to drop it out. And can you even read anymore, Nick? Are you unlearning at an exponential rate?
Yeah, I'm. I can't count anymore, and I'm starting to lose some of my vocabulary terms.
See, without the government, why wouldn't Nick be able to do basic math anymore? We're just fibbing. Nick's smarter than ever. Hey, I mentioned last night that one of our biggest cheerleaders, and boy, he looks great in that cheerleading skirt, Nicholas Kirkpatrick. I said that his website is called BitcoinandCrocodile.com. I was kidding. It's really called PokemonBTC.com, and it's PokemonBTC.com, and it's not a Me Too site. It's not him jumping on the bandwagon. He's been doing this since before Pokemon Go. So there you go. Pokemon Bitcoin, BTC.com. Check it out, peoples. All right. So what did the cops do to you? Where'd they touch you? Oh, I want to talk about one thing. The irony, the 27 layer cake layers of irony of these, the picture of the cops pepper spraying the flag and making it burn more while trying to protect it from communism, from communism that can't hurt them because it's like six people in the whole party nationwide. The proper disposal, according to the U.S. flag code, which is the flag code is, it's not really law, but it's like, what you're supposed to know to display a flag. Like, and most people who say, I'll load the flag and I'll kick your butt if you burn my flag, like, break the flag code all the time. Like, displaying the flag outside without illumination, that's violating the flag code. Wearing a shirt or a hat or using bunting that looks like the flag. Yeah,
you, you better pledge allegiance to my clothing right now, you dirty commie.
Yeah, those people that like want to beat you up for desecrating the flag who are wearing an American flag t-shirt, they are desecrating the flag by wearing that shirt. So, according to the flag code, what is the proper disposal for a damaged flag?
Light it up.
No longer fit to use.
Light it up.
Respectfully burn it. Yeah, so to properly deal with this flag, the cop is going to spray with pepper spray, make it burn more, and then stomp on it, probably, to put it out, and then beat up the commie protesters, put them in prison, and then respectfully burn the flag later, which, while it's covered with pepper spray, which is going to, like, gas everyone in the room or in the area where you're burning it. So, hey, close enough for government work. So, speaking of protesters at the convention, pepper spray is not the only liquid that was being thrown. Tell us about it, Lou.
Okay, it appears that the KKK, Black Lives Matter, and the Westboro Bastards all got within close proximity of each other, and they decided that, no pun intended, they were going to get into a pissing match because they were throwing urine at each other.
Wow.
Now, here's the question. Did they bring the urine with them in advance, or is this something they conjured up while they were there?
My wife and I have a little hand motion for whenever we see someone having a pee-pee match like that. Like, you know, because conflict is the essence of drama, a lot of times in shows you like to watch, you'll see like two people in a pee-peeing match, and we do this thing with our hand. It kind of looks like the hang 10, you know, old surfer thing, but it moves slowly like a lawn sprinkler, and we go like, but we're imagining it's throwing people throwing pee-pee on each other, and we just take our hand and go,
you've ruined my image of a lawn sprinkler now. Which was very fond up till now.
Yeah, that's what I'd be doing. How I'd be cheering on these three groups of collectivist socialist idiots.
Yeah, so I mean, essentially it just sounds like you got oil and water together, or should I say flags and pepper spray?
What were the points in controversy between the KKK and the Westboro Baptist Church?
And can't they just all get along?
What, can't they? I have no idea.
Ultimately, there really isn't that much difference between them all, so I don't see why they can't.
Of course, the Westboro Baptist Church, so they're not really racist, are they?
They just like,
I don't know,
a good peeing match, I think. You know, I don't think they really have an agenda. I think they just want to be known. I think they have small members and a small membership, I mean, and it makes them need to have attention, even if it's bad. You know, here's the bottom line on all this, though. This is like what you won't get on other shows. You know, like if you're listening, like Rush Limbaugh probably covered this today, and he probably, you know, doesn't like the KKK publicly, and doesn't like Black Lives Matter, and doesn't like the Westboro Baptist Church publicly, and you know, he probably called them all idiots. But what he, you know, his solution would probably be, we need a strong leader like Trump to restore law and order. And restore law and order is politician doublespeak going back to the 1968 Democratic Convention. That means we need to break some skulls and throw protesters in prison. And that's what they did back then, and that's probably what they're going to do now. I don't know. I'm just kind of terrified of the whole thing. I wouldn't go near it.
Is it more likely that there's going to be trouble at the Democrats or the Republicans?
I don't know yet. But the bottom line, this is the important part that like you won't hear on those other radio shows, is the problem isn't needing more power and more people to have their heads kicked in. The problem is everyone wanting to control everyone. And I'm not joking when I say, why can't everyone just get along? I don't picture them saying kumbaya and baking cakes for each other without being forced to.
Bake the cake!
I see them, you know, on their own private property across town from each other, not speaking to each other, and that'd be fine. But everyone wants to use the government guns for their own end. And that's what democracy is, and that's what voting is. And it's antithetical to liberty, regardless of what they teach you in government school.
You're right. That's exactly what voting is. Even libertarians that vote need to always keep what you said in mind. No, you got to keep it completely in mind. What happens when you go to the polls? You're picking the guy. If it was the sheriff's race, you're picking the guy who's going to go out and do your dirty work for you,
or promise to and then not do it too. Yeah, and you know what's funny? It's like, it's really funny, and what a lot of people aren't pointing out about Trump is, and we don't love Trump. We hate Trump, but we don't love Hillary. You know, just because we're bashing Trump doesn't mean next week when the Democratic convention's going on in Philly, we're not going to have our boy on the street there, Steve Miller, you know, telling us how horrible that is, too. But Trump is all like, we need to buy American. We need to, you know, get rid of foreign trade. Trump has made his billions on foreign trade. And those hats that say Make America Great are made in China. So is your flag, most likely, if you bought it at Walmart, your American flag. There's nothing wrong with international trade, man. And done right, which basically means with little to no regulation and, you know, the market regulating itself.
You mean no?
I mean none.
Yeah. What regulation?
I know. We're on radio. I'm putting on my minarchist hat.
Dunce cap.
Yeah. I mean, I think you'd need some private armies to, you know, tamp down the giant companies that would become so big that they're too big to let you succeed.
Have you turned into an anarcho-syndicalist now?
No, I don't think there should be government for that. I just don't know that in the absence of all government, if there wouldn't be things like Halliburton. I mean, think about Halliburton. Halliburton basically has private armies, you know?
Paid for by the taxpayers.
Yeah.
All right, let's dispel a couple myths here. The reason that Halliburton is able to get as big as it is because of corporate welfare whoreism. Now, if they were able to get that big on their own in a truly free market without some sort of fascist central planning dictatorship to make their money for them, to direct the business towards them, the only way that they could become so big and draw so much revenue would be by pleasing their customers, by satisfying the needs, wants, and desires of their customers. So they would actually have to be that darn good.
I'm sorry, Lou. I had my minarchist hat on for a minute because we were talking to the listeners of the Rush Limbaugh show. I forgot to take it off, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
But if they were that good, would that be such a horrible thing? Is there a reason that they should be stopped?
I don't know.
From what?
I'm asking.
They're just doing what you wanted them to do. Today there was somebody posted I saw a Facebook post from a cop, and in the post the cop wrote, he said, now it's finally become apparent that we the cops, we are at war with the people we serve, lock and load, he said.
Ooh. Oh, that's been out for a while, yeah.
But that whole idea is that, okay, you're at war with me, and I'm what? I'm the tax payer.
Cattle.
He's the tax eater.
Collector.
And if he's at war with me, it isn't going to work.
It's funny, too.
That doesn't work. They have got to change.
Anybody that says lock and load is living way in the past, because lock and load is a reference to a flintlock rifle. You don't lock and load anymore. You load and lock, if anything. But
that's a good point. Yeah. They still like to say it, though.
Old. It's like, I mean, that phrase would have been out of date in the days of the American cowboy. It was already gone.
Now, let's go back to this "we're at war" thing. This is kind of like the American Revolution, except the cops. Well, the cops are the bluecoats. But anyway, the war actually started in 1775. It was like 1776 when the politicians got to scribbling down words on paper, and it became official. So the cops have been at war with the general public for their entire existence. They're just now declaring it.
My hero is Adamo Freeman. Did you see what happened to him at the convention?
No.
Adamo Freeman, and he was live streaming this on Cell 411, which is the app that will replace the need for, or even the use of police, or the reasons they say they need to be around. So check out Cell 411 if you'd like to take the law into your own hands and do it in an ethical way with your friends, instead of calling some people that are going to shoot your kid and your dog and you, and then bill your family for the bullet like some cops do now. He went to the convention and stood outside with all the cops there with a sign that said F your badge, and was wearing a F the police t-shirt and lived to tell the tale. I wouldn't do that, but I like watching it through the powerful telescope of the internet.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Is spreading the message of liberty and peace around the globe worth 15 cents per day to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. Last year, we did a fundraiser that successfully covered the costs of continuing our African channel. This year, we're hoping to raise enough to fund a new satellite signal that will cover Europe, North Africa, and much of the Middle East. You can donate as much or as little as you like via the Indiegogo campaign at fund.lrn.fm. And there are perks available, like sitting in on your favorite LRN.fm show, exclusive shiny badges, or even naming a satellite channel. Please contribute now at fund.lrn.fm and help us continue our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. The fundraiser ends August 19th, so please visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. That's fund.lrn.fm.
Stoicism today, I'm like, I'm probably that already, but I don't need it. Am I that already?
I'm not sure. I doubt many people are stoic, so
I'm a nihilist.
I'm going to take a gander at you.
I'm a happy nihilist.
It's not the same thing.
A nihilist, I know. All right, so when all you've got is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail, they say. And I would also say that when all you've got is a gun and pepper spray, even a burning flag looks like an uppity hippie you want to spray with pepper spray. So we're going to talk about alternatives to the police. And cell 411 is a good one. Private police are another one.
Detroit
What's
threat
the problem?
Management.
Yeah, threat management. What's the problem with police, Lou?
Oh, God.
Give me the top three problems with police. And why? Tell me three reasons they can't be fixed. And why they should be replaced with alternatives?
Well, their main mission, they are law enforcement, they are government cops, they are not security and protection. What that really means is, as law enforcement, their job is to enforce the laws. And by laws, I mean the idiotic declarations of idiot politicians.
You've hit most of the problem right on the head with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is so right.
So when people say obey the laws, you know, if you don't want to get beat up or killed, then you need to obey the laws. By that rationale, Rosa Parks would have been justified to have been beaten or killed because she was violating the segregation laws. Yeah, or they could have pepper sprayed her, but she was violating the segregation laws. Harriet Tubman was violating and subverting our fugitive slave laws. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I'd say another problem is the fact that they can murder you and get away with that. And that's, yeah. I'm not kidding. That happens all the time. And they can steal your money and get away with it far more often than they kill you and get away with it, you know, with asset forfeiture seizures. And then you can be a Christian rock band, you know, making money for children, starving children with cancer.
Striper!
And, you know, if they find that $5,000 in cash in your car, they're keeping it most of the time. So that's another reason that they're far worse than private police forces. And
private security.
Threat security.
Not private police, private security and protection, because police are cops. Now,
and another thing is, like, the public ones, the cops, have the Supreme Court has said that they have no duty to protect any individual person. So if you're being raped or murdered and you call 911, and let's say the police station is two blocks away and they could get to your house in time to keep you from being raped or murdered, and they stop for donuts and hot dogs along the way on their 911 call, and they show up and you're dead, they didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing you can do. Whereas if private security, I mean, there'd be a lawsuit. You certainly wouldn't use them again, but that's the other problem.
You could fire them.
Yeah, you can't fire the police, and you have to pay for them even if you don't use them.
And you can't sue them for compensation either.
Right.
And well, that's what the Supreme Court case has actually said. You have no enforceable right to have them save you.
And that's coming from a lawyer. He's a lawyer. He's our lawyer. We own him. No, we don't own him. We don't pay him.
Now, going back to the next point balance. Between the distinction between police and security, the definition of police, to police, is to regulate and control a community.
Ew, control.
So
I have a good story
on dictionary.com.
I have a good story that's kind of funny.
I want to
funny.
Throw in
Go
one
ahead.
More thing about the laws.
Go ahead, Lou.
Every law, because they are ultimately enforced at the barrel of a gun. Every law, the final line should be, and if you disobey, we will Feinstein and murder you.
Kill you. Yeah, that is what every law comes down to. So I have a kind of funny story that did not end in murder of how inept police are. First night I was in L.A., first night I lived there, I was sitting alone in my friend's apartment that I was, you know, I was staying there until I found a place. He was out doing something. I was there alone. I was looking out the window. I heard this screech of car tires and saw a Pinto smash into a wall. And I saw three Mexican teenage boys run out of it, like in three different directions. Like, obviously, they'd stolen the car. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know there was no reason to call 911 back then. So I called 911. Not only did I not get put on hold, I got an answering machine. It said, this is the Los Angeles, and it was 911, and it said, this is the Los Angeles Police Department. All lines are busy. Please leave a message, and we'll get back to you at our earliest convenience.
Man, Espanol, Mike, numero dos.
If they were, yeah, and there was a press one for English thing. And if, you know, if it was a company that you were paying, they'd be fighting for your business. They wouldn't be telling you to leave a message. So square. Well, I'm going to retire for the evening and leave you brave, intrepid, libertarian word warriors to take up the torch and burn Nick with it. No. Ooh. So Nick wanted to know what I was going to do, like, when he becomes an adult. I'm going to get another mentee.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
This is the Freedom Fiends, a symposium of unsupervised sounds that caress your Freedom Fiend bone. I'm Randy England, and co-hosts Lou Sander Fiend and Nick Hazelton have hacked into the government subspace mind control to beam our pirate radio signal of protest directly to your frontal lobes. So lose the tinfoil hats and just know that you're free. Hello, gentlemen. Are you reading me? Yes.
I read you, Lima Charlie. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except for governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Thank you, Lou. So we were talking about the police and whether there was any use for them or if there were alternatives. And it seems that every day, a day can't pass before we get more reasons why we need to do something different.
Well, I guess the one benefit of police, and this is kind of a broken window fallacy type thing, is it keeps the job market for grass cutters, leaf blowers, dishwashers, and burger flippers from being over inundated with workers.
Because it kills them?
No. What I'm saying is if there wasn't police departments, there would be so many people competing for those jobs. You know, because let's be honest, most of the people that are cops, they're only fit for blowing leaves and washing dishes. As far as employability goes.
I was a little slow. I wouldn't make a very good, second banana to your stand-up, Lou, but I apologize.
Hey, it happens. It's the price I pay for being so sharp.
We all feel it.
Anyway.
Yes.
But going back to this whole nonsense about the cops, in the last segment of the last hour, we were talking about laws. And just as a reminder, the laws are the arbitrary declarations of idiot politicians. The law is not an entity of its own. It's not created out nobody brought stone tablets down from the mountaintop with this divine wisdom upon it. No, it's literally a bunch of idiots that got paid off and they scribbled some words on paper. So people have this respect for declarations of idiot politicians. Going back to Frederick Bastiat, and he wrote a book back in, I think it was 1850, it was published, either 1850 or 1851.
Yeah, it was around then, wasn't it?
It was called The Law, Frederick Bastiat. And a nice little quote for that is, "The law has placed a collective force at the disposal of the unscrupulous who wish, without risk, to exploit the person, liberty, and property of others. It has converted plunder into a right in order to protect plunder, and it has converted lawful defense into a crime in order to punish lawful defense. I think about this. Most of these people today that say, well, if you hate cops, next time you're in trouble, you call a crackhead. Let's just think about that for a minute. Most violent encounters are over in under a minute. And you spend enough time as a persecutor and as a defense attorney to know how quickly those things go. If the cops have a 7-minute response time, that's actually a 5.5 to 6 minute escape time for your murderer. So because self-defense has been, how could I put it, regulated out of existence in many places because it has been made impossible or just too darn risky that you're going to wind up going to jail for defending yourself. And in some of these European countries, I know England is really bad about it. If you defend yourself against a home invader, you're the one that goes to jail for it.
Yeah.
So when you make defense illegal, you make cops sort of necessary. You know, it's kind of like, we have outlawed your defense, so without cops, it would protect you. Oh, gee, I don't know. God, I guess we need more cops. I guess we need a cop on every corner because, you know, I can't defend myself. And something else, if you go back to, like, the collapse of the Roman era, and Prof. CJ, good friend of the show, he covered this. One of the problems with the collapse of the Roman Empire was that they had a professional army and they no longer had the citizen soldier. They no longer had the person who could defend themselves. And when you have a professional army, a standing army, whether they wear camouflage or silly blue costumes with shiny badges on them, when people see that, they no longer have an incentive to maintain the skills to defend themselves. So it's really a domestication of the American house pet, meaning the general public, the voter.
You're absolutely right. You know, the people don't talk a lot about Frederick Bastiat or Bastia, however I remember one thing that he wrote was something like, the state is the great fictitious entity by which everyone
seeks
to live at the expense of everyone else. And he's also the guy that came up with, or should I say, articulated the whole idea that the government's power is mostly illegitimate. It's certainly illegitimate when it does anything more than, say, defend someone from aggression. And he pointed out that we all have the right to defend ourselves, and we would, you know, theoretically, we would have the right to band together to defend ourselves, you know, with a mutual defense, but that no matter how many of us banded together, even voluntarily, we could never delegate, you know, to the group powers that the individuals did not have. And one power you do not have is to go next door and beat up the guy who's smoking dope in his house, or you don't like the color of the shutters of his house, you can't go over there and tear him down or paint him. That the group can never exercise power that the individual doesn't have. And Bastiat, I haven't read earlier anyone who set that out perfectly clearly as he did in his book, The Law. I think that's a fantastic, and it's pretty short too. I know you can get it free on the internet at many different places. I bet it's available.
Just Google it.
Yeah, and at Mises.org. It's probably there for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but fantastic here's one for book. You. I believe it was Jefferson that said, "A government that's strong enough to give you everything you want is also strong enough to take it all away." Am I correct on that? Or at least close?
I think so.
That's the quote, but I don't know who said it. I think it is
Jefferson. All right, I'm pretty sure it's Jefferson. Well, let's just play on that. A government that is strong enough to protect your rights must also be strong enough to violate them. And what's the track record on protecting rights versus violating rights?
It's a good question. It doesn't seem like it's very good in favor of rights being protected.
Nope. Not even close. So, and speaking of protecting the... Oh, wait a minute. You guys talk for a minute. There's a video here I got to watch.
Sure. I think that it's a good point. I want to stress my point.
That's not what I thought. I thought it was going to be like urine throwing at the RNC. So, continue, Nick.
Such a disappointment. Go ahead, Nick. We interrupted you.
Yeah, that's no on pay-per-view. Speak, Nick. Speak.
All right. I'll do it. So last segment or hour, I made a point. The definition of policing means to regulate or control, and it does not to mean to protect and serve or to protect the rights of citizens or individuals. Right. That's not what it means. And to govern also means to control. Right. It's not to protect and serve rights of individuals. That's not the goal of the government.
Yeah, control is the basis of all those words that you're using.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the difference between a law enforcement officer and what might have been called a peace officer, you know, in another era.
Fiend phone.
Yeah.
Furries.
Fumbling.
Furries.
I heard this is the fiend phone urgent resident furry. I forget. Furries. Yeah. I want to say that we have stickers. We have BIPCOT stickers, and we have state speech is hate speech stickers. If you go to the Freedom Fiend site, click on the link that says stickers, and you can also from there get the new Jeremy Heisen N-word inspired stickers that say bad audio is a hate crime, and Jim Jesus is selling those for an SASE. And we had to link what an SASE is. We linked the Wikipedia article. It's stamped self-addressed envelope. And I told my wife today that we had to link that because the kids today don't know what an SASE is.
She said,
that's too bad that they don't know that. And I said, really? So are you saying that it's too bad that the post office is going obsolete? And she's like, yeah, I guess you're right. So, SASE, we still, you know, until y'all have 3D printers where you can print all our stickers all the time, you need to send us a dollar or two or a stamped self-addressed envelope.
The youth of today will never know the joy of sending off to Pueblo, Colorado for all those little flyers
government printing office.
Send out for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
There's you said that about the 3D printer. I mean, it's just crying out for somebody to make a printer that can print both paper and then a layer of glue and then the wax paper that's on the back and everything. When is that coming?
Actually, that paper does exist. So you just peel it off.
Called a printer. It's just a color printer. It's not 3D.
That's so much work.
Damn, they're bigger stickers.
I want
a gadget that you attach this sticker to an email and I just say print and it goes to my machine and creates this object.
They have something called stickers on Facebook, but they're not stickers. They're just little spam.
Sounds like fraud to me.
Yeah. There you go. Class action suit, Randy. He could retire. He could sue Facebook on behalf of the internet and everybody would get an 18th of a cent when you won.
That doesn't matter if there's 20 million people in the class and I get 40%. Oh, you bet.
I think we should come up with a good class action suit for you.
I never went into that line of work. I'm a complete ignoramus when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, and you're ethical. Yeah.
On some other things too, but
those lawyers are the example of people with no class taking action.
Now, in a libertarian society, though, the class action would take the place of the governmental prosecution for the small crimes that happen to lots of people. Like polluted water or polluted air. You'd have to have class actions to go get the guy that.
So I'd get it
that ruined your air
of being on oxygen. I'd get a check for $1.86
after my cut.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Bring it on. Bring on lip hair.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. and make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Cock-a-doodle-woo. Yo. Freedom Fiends are back.
Yeah.
With Lou and Nick and me, Randy. I'm Randy England. Yes. And Lou is, we're still talking about the police, and we just can't get away.
Let's take a break for the cops for a little while. Let's go to our safe space, because this is a kind of short segment. Let's talk about Liberty Fest.
Yeah.
You're going to be coming up here.
I'm coming.
So who is it that you're bringing with you?
A friend of mine who is, I went to law school with this guy, and then we worked, we were both prosecutors at the same time. I mean, I'm not bragging or anything, but he ended up leaving that and went into criminal defense for a while, and then he quit. Now for the last 10 years, he's been a librarian. So, wow. You know, that was a bit of a switch.
So did he change his evil ways and renounce Staten?
Jiminy, what was the thing I saw today about somebody said, oh, Hillary, she's so bad, she worships Satan. They said, no, Satan worships her. But never mind, I'm changing the subject, okay?
Yeah. Liberty Fest.
Liberty Fest. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get off the track. Anyway, he's a buddy of mine. I've known him for 25 years, and he's the one person that I got to come up to Liberty Fest with. So I feel like I proselytized one person.
Good for you.
And that's not an obscene word.
Yeah, I think that I'll have a few new people coming out that I've invited and encouraged to show up. So I'm expecting a pretty good crowd. I think that we'll probably break 200 this year rather easily, as far as
that
people
would,
out there camping.
And
of course, there'll be the. Yeah, of course there'll be the day visitors too.
Yep. I have to start figuring out, you know, where I want to, you know, pitch my campsite. You know, do you want to be over in the area by the fire where you're near the action and can't get any sleep, or do you want to be over in the peach orchard, you know, or somewhere in between? You know, it's
apple orchard.
Was it apples? See, I never stayed in the apple, peach, whatever. Apple, okay, I believe.
Yeah, we were always orchard. In no man's land.
We were, yeah, in no man's land between. So I liked it because there were lots of trees everywhere and shade. It's a really beautiful place. People should come.
Yeah, I'll be in the middle of this year.
When is it, Lou?
It is August 26th through the 29th, and you can register your friends and family at mplfest.org. Yeah, I'll be over by the electricity because I'm bringing the camper this year.
Oh, that's so great! That's so great.
The new camper,
and people that come, it's not expensive either, because isn't it like $50, and that includes the camping for 3 days?
Yeah, that's the event, that's the admission, the camping, and the whole 9 yards. I don't know if that's the current price. I got my ticket during the early bird special.
It was probably cheaper than that then. And don't you get a nice discount if you pay in Bitcoin?
Yes, I paid $42.50 for this weekend, for the entire long weekend.
Yeah.
So it starts on Friday and goes through Monday. So how do you beat that?
Looking forward to it. And Michigan, what a great place to go. Go north in August because it's hot so many other places.
Yeah. Nick, are you going to be riding out on yak back, sacrificing a yak to the anarchy emperors, and then like hitchhiking home?
No, I wish I was, but I need to sell more yaks before I can do that.
Well, get out there and peddle some yak.
I'm hoping I will be I'll be making some money here in a little bit. Hopefully, I'm planning on going to Michigan next year instead of Porkfest.
Okay, or put up a GoFundMe thing.
Yeah.
So you could cyber beg, because like at Porkfest you were kind of like begging for food. You were kind of like our trash panda.
Yeah. Hey, I wonder if we ever get Ben Stone back up there, the bad Quaker.
He says he's retired from public life, but
well,
speaking of trash pandas,
he still tweets. You know,
I was out at a campground a couple weekends ago, and I was going to dump my garbage, and there were a couple squirrels rooting around in there. I'm like, my God, do the raccoons know what you guys are up to?
Ba-dum-bump.
Yeah. And here's something else. Bennett talked about this. I don't know if it was on one of his podcasts or if it was on the Fiends radio show. He was talking about how when people get out to the campgrounds, the first thing that they do is they plant their American flag on the front of their camper. I saw more American flags just in that little row at the campground that I was at than I saw Canadian flags on houses along the entire Trans-Canada Highway.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of going to Liberty events only to meet higher fees and diminishing attendance? Is it troubling that your banners have to be approved by the Libertarian Central Planners? Are you tired of seeing your friends physically removed because they said something edgy? Hey, that's none of my business. Then you should check out the Jackalope Freedom Festival night event at Baca Meadows in the cooler part of northern Arizona. Meet Liberty activists, listen to talks, have a beer with Hoppy, score some free Freedom Fiends merchandise, camp under the stars, and fight the state with delicious Navajo tacos. And the best part is that there's no fees or libertarian general scrutinizers. Check out jackalopefreedomfestival.com for more information and directions. Runs from August 1st through 8th. That's jackalopefreedomfestival.com.
And we are back. This is Freedom Fiends. I'm Lou, and I'm joined by Randy and the young punk juvenile delinquent Nick.
Hey, guys.
After dropping out of high school, forgot how to read, forgot how to count, can't do the math no more.
Can barely speak.
Exactly. That's why he's so quiet all the time. So there's a recently breaking story here. It's really sad, and I'm pretty sure that this happened in the past day or two. This story comes to us from Reason. North Miami cops shoot behavioral therapist trying to help autistic patient who had a toy truck.
That was a toy truck, not toy yes. gun. Okay.
Right, right. So cops in North Miami were caught on cell phone video shooting Charles Kinsey, a behavioral specialist, while he lay on the ground with his hands in the air, as reported by WSVN. Kinsey says he was trying to intervene on behalf of an autistic patient who had run off from the group home. According to police, someone called 911 to report a suicidal man walking around with a gun. The group home patient had a toy truck in his hands. Now, I'd be very interested to hear the 911 recording of that. I doubt if that'll get released, because I'm going to guess that it probably doesn't exist.
This would have been a gun-shaped toy truck, though.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, anyway, when I went to the ground, I went to the ground with my hands up, Kinsey told WSVN, and I am laying there just like this, you know, showing with his hands up, telling them again that there is no need for firearms. He is autistic. He has a toy truck in his hand. I was really more worried about him than myself. I was thinking, as long as I have my hands up, Kinsey.
Oh, he thought they were going to shoot the kid from the group home.
Yeah. They're not going to shoot me. This is what I'm thinking. They're not going to shoot me. Wow, was I wrong? Cops did, however, shoot Kinsey. I thought it was a mosquito bite, Kinsey explained to WSBN. And when it hit me, I had my hands in the air. And I'm thinking, I just got shot. And I'm saying, sir, why did you shoot me? And his words to me were, I don't know.
Is this a moron like the guy up in the, what was the guy in San Francisco, the Bay Area Transit thing, where the guy just simply pulled the gun out of his pocket and blew the guy away for zero reason, and just there was nothing there? It was like a brain fart or something?
I don't know. my guess is that this cop should have been in that group home along with the autistic guy that had the toy truck. As a matter of fact, instead of having a gun, the cop should have a toy truck. No, not even a toy truck, like a toy moped, because he can't be trusted with a high capacity toy. And
yes,
when you look at these stories here, when you look at the number of videos that are out there, this isn't brand new. Corruption and cop thuggery is not a brand new thing. It's always happened. It's just more blatantly obvious now. Now you have videotape of all this stuff. So you're going to see a lot more of it. And quite frankly, when I see a cop, it scares the living hell out of me.
Yeah, you know, and earlier in the first hour, I think, you know, we mentioned the cop that said, we are now at war with the people that we serve. I really wonder which way the cops in their briefing rooms, you know, before they go out on their shifts and in their training academies now, you know, are they saying we have to double down and be more careful for our safety? Or are they saying we're doing something wrong and we need to back something down and do something differently? Because if they double down and get tough, as we might say, if they double down, they're just going to murder more people.
Well, that's what they've been
doing.
And
this isn't going to go away.
Down. No.
They didn't go to go. There was an article in the blog. I don't know if you're familiar with the blog called The Bionic Mosquito, which was, I think, almost a week ago, maybe last Thursday or something. And in it, the fellow that writes that, he has some interesting ideas sometimes. And he had a few suggestions that he thought would back the whole thing down just automatically without the police actually having to change procedures and that. And he, first of all, eliminate all laws regarding victimless crimes, especially the drug laws, because that causes so many of these confrontations, things surrounding that. And I suppose with the number of people that are in prisons for those, that there'd probably be half as many interactions between the police and people if you got rid of the victimless crime laws, which would really tone down the pressure, you know, on them. They would be like only half as scared because you didn't have that. The other one was eliminate minimum wage laws. They said every poor kid, you know, minority kid in the, that can't get a job now would have a job overnight. And also the civil asset forfeiture was another thing. Several things that could be changed immediately without changing any policies among the police or among people, that the whole thing would get back down because you just wouldn't have near as much of this stuff going on. I thought it was kind of interesting. He had some other things, you know, like ending changes to welfare and that. But these were just three that he had off the top of his head that I thought were really good. And I think the control, like Nick's been saying, their need to control is what's driving this thing. And driving it to more control is only going to make it worse. And the people that are shooting the police, they're mentally unbalanced, sure, in that, but not irrational in the sense that
are you sure that they're mentally unbalanced?
I'm not sure, but I'm well, the thing is, when I see these videos, you know, like, who was this, Alton Sterling, was that the fellow's name?
Mm-hmm.
That you know, they you know, just killed him, and then the guy laying in the car that got shot, I look at that and it makes me want to throw up. It's so disgusting. But I have not gotten out my deer rifle and gone out and shot a cop. Okay, and I'm not going to. So I'm assuming that the people that go out and do that, after they see that, that they are more sensitive to these issues, and maybe they have shorter fuses than I do. And there's always going to be a number of those people who are going to do this. So if the killings continue, the police killings will continue. It's as simple as that. And you can't preach to the unbalanced. And I, you know, to the people that are fighting back, let's put it that way, there's nothing you can do about those people. It's the police that have got to back it down. There's no other way.
There's an argument that's being made, particularly about the three most recent shooters. And I believe it's Baton Rouge and Dallas.
Oh, they're all military.
They're former military. One is Army, one is Air Force. Or not Air Force, one is Army, one is Navy, and one's a former Marine. And the argument that's being made is that these veterans are finally upholding their oath to protect American freedom.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, when you think of domestic tyranny, think of cops, because they're the ones that make it all possible. Nancy Pelosi, Rahm Emanuel, and any of the Republicrats, they're not going to strap on body armor and go enforce their own nonsense. No, that's going to be the cops that do it. So all these people that say, the government's going to come take our guns, but not my police and military. Who they think is going to do it? It is going to be the police and military. It's always the police and military that inflicts government on a population.
It's sort of it. Go ahead.
So with these kills, especially in Dallas, I don't know that the Dallas Police Department had anything going on, but to just go say, "Oh, you're a cop, I should kill you," and that's as stupid as a cop saying, "Hey, you're a black guy, I should kill you." You know, it's the equivalent of saying, you know, you fit the description of a suspect. So when people just go arbitrarily killing people, and trust me, I don't cry any tears over cops getting killed. I just don't care. The same way that evangelical Christians don't cry any tears over abortion providers getting killed. I don't worry about it. But when you just go arbitrarily kill somebody because of the costume that they wear, no, that doesn't make sense. That's idiotic.
Well, in one sense, there are people that just go kill indiscriminately.
That's what I'm saying.
These guys, I mean, they are, in one sense, identifying someone they actually see as the enemy. They're not running over babies in strollers like the guy in Nice, France. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not proven of killing anybody. When somebody goes and somebody who was released from Guantanamo, if he had some head, and they were going to go and get even and have revenge, it would make more sense that they would seek out a military base and like try to shoot somebody that had actually persecuted them or killed their family than to just show up on my street and shoot me, because I don't have anything to do with them at all.
Yeah, you can make the argument.
Except I help pay to kill their family, but not voluntarily.
And you can make the argument, well, they're a cop, therefore they're violating the NAP, or therefore they're fair game, whatever. And that is there is some legitimacy to that, but it's also collectivist thinking.
Yeah, so yeah, you're right.
I don't really think that it applies, but it's like, if the police are going to go arrest a murderer because some little old lady got killed in her home, if they just go grab the first person that they see, what in the heck is that? And I equate just going in and killing cops as arbitrary. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah. Here? Yeah, I do. Yeah. Well, it is. My only point was that it's not as arbitrary as simply just going out and say killing any white person you see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it isn't just some white guy that's killing all these people, in their neighborhood. It's the white guy with a gun and a badge.
It's the blue guy, and unlike white, blue is a choice. So when the cops say, "Hey, I don't make the laws," what they're really saying is, "But I do choose to keep coming back every single day, regardless of how immoral, wicked, cruel, or stupid these laws are. I voluntarily go out there and I enforce this crap, even if I disagree with it, because I'm a paycheck."
I mean, that's why I quit. When I was being a prosecutor.
Thank you for your service of quitting, Randy.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. and bipcot.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Hey, this is Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, joined by Randy and Nick, and this is our final segment. And we wanted to share some positive news. We want to end the show on a good note. And I kind of have mixed feelings on this because this kind of goes against what we were talking about a couple segments ago. But with the problem in Chicago, with the problems of the all the violence, of all the shootings and everything else that goes along with Chicago, there's a solution here, but I'm not sure how much it's going to work because it's kind of more of the same. And the story comes to us from thepeoplescube.com, and the Taliban is going to send peacekeeping advisors to Chicago to help pacify the neighborhoods.
Now, you're saying I don't have to pay for this?
I'm sure you'll probably have to pay for it because this is a government program.
If I don't have to pay for it, I'm interested.
Well, it's a government program, so of course it's going to be free, and they'll put you on an installment plan for when it's free, too. But anyway, as negotiations for the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan have once again come to a halt, the Taliban Supreme Council has offered to level the playing field by sending a group of 400 battle-hardened Taliban peacekeepers to the U.S. city of Chicago to help pacify one of the most violent regions in the Great Plains area of the North American continent. With many years of combat experience in violent areas of their own country, and having fought rebels, insurgents, villagers, urban militias, rival drug lords, as well as Soviet and American occupying forces on foot, horses, camels, donkeys, and trucks, they may be just what the Chicago city officials need to pacify their own population and bring the recently publicized murder rate under control. They had some other plans there. Let's see. Oh yeah.
Well, they were concerned. They said, "We don't understand. You elected a president, and in our country, we stop killing each other once we win elections."
Yeah.
Well, mostly. Said.
Yeah. Now, when my advisors come to Chicago, all crime and murder will disappear once we impose Sharia law," said Ramadullah, referencing the traditional form of Islamic jurisprudence. After the first dozen or so public executions at Wrigley Field, even the stupidest man will understand we mean business. Then we start getting some real change. The Taliban chieftain also sees hope for places like Detroit, whose fleeing residents have left entire neighborhoods utterly abandoned. A healthy Afghan solution to this problem would be to enroll young people into a mandatory agricultural rehabilitation program.
And they're going to bring goats too, right?
Yes, goats are good company and can live anywhere. Put them in the cities and they will control the weeds as well as said young Americans or as well as keep the youngsters occupied and entertained, Ramadullah said. Young Americans will be less tempted to rape and murder others for fun if they have goats around.
Hey, wait a minute. Oh.
Now, interestingly enough, there was a guy that wanted to use goats to gobble up the overgrowth in Detroit, and city ordinances kept him from being able to use goats for that purpose.
Nick, do yaks do that? Do they eat a lot of material?
They will, but not as much as goats. They won't eat blackberries like goats will.
Do they keep teenagers? Do they keep teenagers occupied?
Yeah, I'd say they do.
I'm not
murdering or raping anybody, so
you don't have to rape anybody because you have yaks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, don't go there. Okay.
So
Nick is still a minor, aren't you, Nick?
Yeah, I got a month.
What happens in a month? Is that 17 or 18?
No longer. That'd be 18.
Oh, are you legal on the internet? What's the age of consent on the internet? What's the age of consent on FCC radio?
I wonder.
So,
are you saying that even though Nick came on voluntarily, his consent is maybe not valid?
He may not have permission to give consent.
Well, what would the charge be? If there was any charge, it would be against Michael, I'm sure, since he recruited you, didn't he, Nick?
Yeah.
He taught you everything you know except yak farming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we're coming to the end of tonight's show. But thanks, guys. I learned a lot. Lou always finds the articles that I never see otherwise without listening to the show.
Well, thanks for coming on, guys. And to our listeners, thanks for listening. And for more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Yeah, and check out and come to the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest.